thank you for tuning in to the Doing Business with God podcast.
Hey, you. Yes, you. I am your host, Michi Renee.
It is Michi's passion to help you live your best life and do business God's way. Michi will be talking about entrepreneurship, manifestation, monetization, mindset, beliefs, starting and growing a business, nonprofit, or ministry, all while serving God. So welcome to My Daddy's Business. It's time for the show. It's the Doing Business with God podcast with your host, Michi Renee.
Hello, tribe. Welcome back to another episode of the Doing Business with God podcast, dedicated to helping you do business God's way. In this episode, I will be talking to Ms. Christina Stanton. Christina Stanton is a 51-year-old Florida native who has lived in the New York City area for the past 27 years. She had a very successful career as a singer in musical theater before turning her full attention to becoming a professional licensed New York City tour guide. She's worked for more than 20 years total as a guide, and her tours have been written up in multiple publications and featured on the Travel Channel. Christina has led thousands of people on tours over the years and is considered an historian on the New York City attacks during September 11, 2001. Christina's award-winning book, Out of the Shadows of 9/11, was profiled several times on Fox News and on NPR and featured in magazines, podcasts, articles, and blogs. It reached number 56 on the bestseller list on the 18th anniversary. She also wrote a book called Faith in the Face of COVID-19 about surviving a bad case of COVID. She does presentations about 9/11 all over the world to churches, community groups, and schools. I love the fact that in 2007, she founded a nonprofit called Loving All Nations, which helps the world's poor and vulnerable. She and her husband, Brian, who are of, oh, wow, I'm definitely going to want to know about that, one of Match.com's original couples, and have been married for 20 years and are longtime residents of the financial district. Christina, welcome to the Doing Business with God podcast. How are you today?
Hi, that's a long, I'm sorry about that bio. That's very long. You know what I really should have just said? I should have said for my bio, I am a typical Enneagram 7, and that's all you need to know. I'm a poster child for Enneagram 7, and that's all you need to know.
Yes, thank you.
And I love Christ. Those are the two.
Exactly. Thank you so much. I love your bio, and I love some of the things that you have done in the past. So let's talk about you being one of Match.com's original couples. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. You know, it should be out there in cyberspace that the Stantons, the longest married couple in Match.com's history, because we are known to be that. So my husband and I met on Match.com in 99, and I believe Match.com started in 1996. So it looks like there were couples who got married before us. We got married in the year 2000, but they have since gotten divorced. So to Match.com's knowledge, we are the longest married couple. So we're the only ones to have identified ourselves to them as being married as long as we have. So we think that's funny. And gotta understand, I was on Match.com when it was still thought of as like a floozy, weird thing site to do. When it was not... I mean, it's so common now, you know, but back then it was considered super weird.
Yeah.
We were cutting edge. We looked at it as, we may be weird, but we're also cutting edge.
I was talking to my sister recently when she came to visit me here, and she was like, oh, you should get on one of the dating sites. Cause I've been single for like 3 years now. And, I'm ready to get back out there, start dating, putting myself out there a little bit. But I don't know about the dating websites, but, you know, she met her husband on Yahoo Singles. Like, so, and they've been together for 11 years and married for 8 years. So it's like, I guess.
There's so many out there. To tell you the truth, it's probably so different from when my husband and I were on it in 99, probably just so different that I can't even speak to it. What I do know is that, you know, when I found my husband, I found him and I contacted him. He had put his a write-up of his faith. I mean, he had put that in his profile. So even though people say, oh, well, it, you know, was Match.com religiously affiliated? And I'm like, no, but that actually made it, I was able to find him quicker, to tell you yeah. the truth, you know, because he put himself out there. And I thought, well, there you go. You know, so, you know, we had that right off the bat in common. And but yeah, so they used us for some of their early PR.
That's
and
cool.
That also is out there on YouTube. And we look so young and so cute and young. But anyway, so.
That's cute. That's so cool. That's so cool. I like that.
They would still
your
use
your claim to fame.
I know, right? No. But my husband's like, that's not fun. I don't want to do that anymore. And I'm like, okay, you know, but it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah. Yes. So talk to us about your entrepreneurial journey. Based on your bio, you've done a lot of different things, and talk to us about what you've done in the past and kind of where you are now and what you're doing now. I'd love to hear about all about it.
You know, I have to start with kind of the original reason why I moved to New York City, which was to be try my luck on the Broadway stage, so to speak, right? So I majored in music in college, and I moved up to New York for two reasons, really, because I wanted to, again, see if I could make it on the Broadway stage. I love musicals. That was the kind of singing that I like to do. But also I just kind of wanted some big grand adventure, kind of like my backpacking across Europe after I graduated from college, right? I just wanted an adventure. But, you know, when I got there and I, you know, kind of was learning the ropes of, you know, what does it take to become a Broadway singer and actress? You know, that's your own entrepreneurship, because you are your own, you know, PR firm, you're your own, it's kind of like you're in one body, you're everything, right? Yeah. From the talent to the PR, to the marketing to, and I think that really kind of got me started for the rest of my life. So it's like everything else I did ended up being geared, again, you're a one person show, you know? So from there, you know, if you're an actress, you know, you always hear you have to have a day job to support yourself. And I did. So I decided that I wanted to become a licensed New York City tour guide, because I had heard through the grapevine that, you know what, that's a great gig that works well with trying to become an actress, because it's giggy, you know, it'll give you time to go to auditions that you need to go to be an actress, and it earns, you know, decent money. So it took me a year to study for the tour guide license exam. You have to, if you don't know that, you actually have to pass a test to become a New York City tour guide, right?
Oh,
but
wow.
After that though, again, kind of back to the whole thing of when I moved there to be an actress, I learned the ropes. How do you get work as a freelance tour guide? And again, you're your own PR, you're your own marketing, you're your own, I mean, you're a one woman show there, right? So then kind of moved on to got married, and my church that I go up to still attend in New York City didn't have a short-term missions ministry. And it's a huge church. I mean, it was like 7,000 people. So I grew up in the South and went on mission trips growing up, and I loved mission trips. And my husband works for our church. He always has. And so I kind of knew who to ask, you know, and I was like, why don't y'all offer, let's say, short-term missions? They were like, well, you know, we have our overseas endeavors in this capacity. And I said, okay, but it's not really the same thing. And they're like, well, if you want to start a ministry, you can, you know, here are some parameters, right? But again, so here I am again, you know, starting something from scratch. PR, the marketing, show, right? And so from there, tied into the missions, my husband and I decided to found a nonprofit. And that actually came out of my missions endeavors. But you know, like you start a nonprofit and again, you're the PR, you're the marketing, blah, blah, blah. And so by the time I got to the nonprofit, you know, and I'd cycled through these different endeavors, mm-hmm. that they started feeding off each other, which was great, because I felt like, hey, I know what this is. This may be a whole different industry, but I know what it is to market and to PR, you know, so I started getting so used to coming up with buzz, or who would I contact for a magazine to get some to get some coverage and to get, you know, get a feature spot or something like that. And so they all ended up playing into each other, even the missions of all things, you know, they it just kind of used the same skill set that I had been, you know, utilizing and growing ever since I was 23 years old. So now, you know, I just, sometimes I feel like, gosh, I could just kind of start anything because I feel like I know the general setup and maybe a whole different industry, but I've gotten so used to the entrepreneurial spirit. And to tell you the truth, I love it. I love it. I love everything about it because I'm a creative person and there is a big part of entrepreneurship that's very creative and it's your own stamp and it's your own initiative. And you know, you just have to have the drive. And I, you know, some people don't like the word hustle, but I actually don't think hustle is a bad word at all. It's just that kind of that inner scope that gets you, you know, out and doing what you need to do to make something happen. And so it just started off when I was an actress at 23 and kind of as my interest be from one road to another road. And does God, you know, put me down one road. Things kind of end up snowball effect. And now I've enjoyed my work history. I've enjoyed the things that I've done. I've enjoyed the endeavors and yeah, but really it all sounds so self-glorification. None of this would have happened if God hadn't have taken me down every single road. I mean, it's really all him, you know, everything, even my inner fire, everything is from him. Absolutely. You know? So absolutely. Yeah, I actually give God all the glory just for, I've enjoyed everything he's brought into my life. And so they've all been such blessings. So, yeah.
Right. So talk to us a little bit more about the tour guiding, what exactly you are doing with that. I know it's still the pandemic and there's probably no tours going on right now, but
right. You're right.
You know, like what were you doing as it relates to the tours? And I didn't know that people were independent tour guides. I thought people were companies doing the tours. So that's an interesting fact for me.
We hope that you are enjoying this episode. If you would like to be a guest, check the show notes for all the details. Let's get back to the Doing Business with God podcast with Michi Renee.
Well, let me tell you how the setup, at least in New York City, how it goes, right? You get your tour guide license. Nobody's going to hire you unless you have your license. And it's a really hard exam, by the way. I'm going to be honest and say I barely passed. I took it in 1995. You have two ways to go from there once you have your license. You can work for one company. Like you can be a double-decker, let's say Gray Line, you know, the double-decker bus tour guide, or you can be a backstage tour guide of Radio City Music Hall or Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall. So you can have one attraction and be a tour guide there, or you can freelance, meaning you can work for a bunch of companies. You can just put yourself out there and there is student tours that come into town and there's tours that are geared towards children that you'd be on their roster, on their list of who they call when somebody comes into town. So there's also, let's say, event planning and destination management work, which are, let's say, Pfizer is doing their annual meeting up in New York City. Well, they put together a program and they have spouses go on special tours and blah, blah, blah. So they'll hire you, you know, a 4-hour tour or something like that. If you choose the freelancing route, then you've got to put your hustle on, right? You're going to work as much as you put yourself out there. Yeah. And you need to get your name to kind of the top of the list, because you know, there's a lot of tour guides out there and there's a lot of ways to get a tour guide, right? And if they call you and you're busy, well, you know, that kind of bumps you toward the bottom. You know, you go further and further down the list. You need to be available and flexible and available to do any kind of tour, whether it's a food tour or a dumpling tour in Chinatown or a cannoli tour or a cupcake tour or, you know, walking tour of the financial district. So you need to know your stuff and you need to get yourself out there, right? But once you kind of establish, you know, who's out there and who's doing what, and get yourself out there, then you really can, you can make a good living out of doing it, right? But again, it depends on what route you go of what kind of work you want to do. So yeah, I decided from early on, I want to be a freelance tour guide. I want to do all kinds of different things. I want to, you know, I'd love to do an uptown tour in one day, or a downtown tour, a walking tour, a boat tour. You can tour on boats, you know, so makes it to where you have to hustle a little bit more. Very fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Absolutely.
It's fun.
And so you're a nonprofit. So you're a person who like has all three. You got a business, you got a nonprofit, you got a ministry. So
right. Well, yeah, let me tell you about the nonprofit. How that happened is I told you that I started the ministry at my church in New York City called Redeemer Presbyterian, and I started the short-term missions. And something I noticed right off the bat is, you know, a lot of companies offer matching grants. You've heard of matching grants, right?
Yes.
But companies won't allow matching grants to match to a house of worship. Right? Because there's a whole secular thing going on, whatever. So I noticed that a lot of people who had signed up for mission trips had access to matching grants from the companies that they worked for, but we couldn't get the money because we're a church, right? So that kind of bummed me out. That was always in the back of my mind. How do we get that matching grant money, right? And also too, you know, we'd gone on a mission trip, we'd see the wonderful work that a certain church or a Christian organization was doing overseas. And the people would come out from a mission trip and they'd be like, hey, I want to support what they're doing long-term. We go see an orphanage or something. Hey, I love the work that they're doing there. How can I support them long-term? Well, to tell you the truth, a lot of churches don't have the bandwidth really to be collecting donations on other nonprofits' behalf. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's all these kind of tight IRS rules that make for a lot of work for a church to do that, right? Okay. To get in money, to send it right out to another nonprofit, right? So my church was kind of balking at, you know, all of the nonprofits that people wanted to give money to the church to send it off. And I thought, well, you know, the church is a middleman here and I don't like that either. That puts work on them that they don't need. And not only that, I kind of want to, like, if somebody gives money to an orphanage, I want to be able to send it like tomorrow. You know, churches will do things cyclically.
Right.
Like, what if they're really hurting? I want, you know, and somebody gives their, I want it to be able to get to the orphanage tomorrow, right? Through a wire. So that was some of the reasons why we decided to start our own nonprofit. So the wonderful thing is we go over there, South Africa. They went into a wonderful nonprofit, would come back and I would say, hey, y'all, here's the good news. You want money to go to, let's say, Itemba in KwaZulu-Natal? Great. Just give money through Loving All Nations. We'll send it off tomorrow. And that's, you know, that's great. So they get a tax receipt. We don't take any cut. You know, it's our time that we give, essentially. And the wire is $35 and bada bing, bada boom. So it kind of solved all that. And it's able to get all these wonderful matching grants. Even though I have a Christian-based nonprofit, a matching grant from a company can still go to this nonprofit. It still can't go to a church, right? So, from a church. So it's great. I can accept matching grants and that money goes straight to where it needs to go. So it's kind of the best of all worlds. So we've diversified, you know, since that original vision. And I think we help out like 20 different nonprofits and orphanages and Christian organizations overseas. And I'm really happy about that. And I'm happy about the fact that we don't take any overhead. People's money goes straight to where it needs to go and it goes the next day. And, you know, that's how people like to give nowadays. You know, they don't like overhead. They don't like waiting for their, you know, there are donations to make the rounds and get there 2 months later, you know, so it's working out really well.
That's great. And so how can people connect with your nonprofit? Do you need volunteers? Do you tell us about the structure of the nonprofit and how people can help?
Here's the thing on this, on the American end, it's really just a giving portal. Where I could actually use volunteers and help is in other countries, to tell you the truth. So I'm afraid there's not much to volunteer for on this end, but let's say if somebody knows, hey, I go from America. If I know a wonderful orphanage in Guatemala, and I'd love to send that orphanage money, but you know, me and other donors would really need a tax receipt, then, you know, contact me, we'll look into it and we'll be that portal. But that's the whole thing is a lot of Americans, they just don't want to give
donations unless they're going to get a tax receipt. And, you know, I mean, like the orphanage in Guatemala doesn't have the wherewithal to set up a US-based nonprofit just so our donors here can get tax receipts. So we've already done all that work for you, but we'd love to have more partners and new partners. If somebody has a burning desire to help somebody overseas, just let me know, because I want Americans to be able to give to these wonderful, there's so many wonderful organizations around the world, and be able to get the tax receipts. So it's a conversation I'm happy to have with people. We can only send it to entities though. We can't send any money to individuals. It has to go to a 501c3 organization overseas or a church or something like that. But yeah, so we're always happy to have more partners over there.
Awesome. Do you have a website or how can people reach you?
Lovingallnations.org.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, check out the organization, connect, partner, do what you can. Even if you're the one in the US and you know people in these other places.
Just say, hey, listen, do you guys have, US-based donors who would love to get to you, but they can't because they can't get a tax receipt? Well, that's what we're here for. So it really serves a purpose.
Yeah, I would also want to implore people, don't just do it for a tax receipt.
I know.
Because the Bible says to give. If they can't give you a tax receipt, oh well, everything should be based on that.
I totally agree with you. I agree with you. I just don't, since I so don't want that to be a stumbling block, that's it's going to stop anybody from doing it. Let's just offer it. I know what you're saying. What you're saying.
Yes, yes. Being that this is the Doing Business with God podcast, how do you do business with God?
At Travel Genie, we make your travel dreams come true. We customize your trip. We create itineraries, book airfare, hotels, cars, and event tickets. We don't just book travel. We create experiences. Travel Genie has 4 trips planned for 2021. San Francisco, Essence, Toronto, and Bali. A $100 deposit gets you started. Use the link below for more information. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at Travel Genie 2017 and online at TravelGenie.com.
Me personally, how do I do business with God?
Yes.
How I've always done business with God is, and this sounds so trite, but say, God, I have no idea what you want me to do. Just let me know what you want me to do. Steer me in the right direction. And because you know what? In and of myself, I didn't have any of these aspirations. You know, from the nonprofit to New York, God gave me a singing voice. You know, I mean, I developed it. You know, you have to do the work, but he gave me that. He gave me the desire to move to New York. He's the one who led me to Redeemer Church, laid it on my heart for short-term missions, the nonprofit. I'm just a vessel, truly a vessel. I'm just saying, Lord, just, I'm here.
Use me. Yes.
I'm here, and to tell you the truth, like if he wanted me to go back to Florida, go to my hometown and just concentrate on, my older mother for a season and put things on hold, he's going to make it happen. If that's what he wants me to do, that's what he wants me to do. I don't have to go change the world. I don't feel like I have to at all. I don't have to, it's whatever God wants. I'm literally, and the older I get, the more I'm 51 now, the more I feel like I'm truly down with anything.
Right. That's kind of how I feel too. It's like that whole hands up, like, okay, I surrender my will, not my will, but your will. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to help? How do you want me to help them? Where do you want me to go? Like, I don't have time for that. I did all that crazy stuff fighting with God in my 20s and 30s. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right.
It's too much energy. No one has time for that. Just let me surrender and you tell me what you want me to do. That's kind of like where I'm at as well.
During the pandemic, last year, March 2020, my husband and I caught the virus. And I actually believe I caught it probably from somebody on a tour, or let's say on the subway ride, going to a tour or something like that. But I got it during the worst of like the New York City, time, when people were just really dying and it was awful. And I got a really bad case of it. I was hospitalized twice and I was actually told that I had a 50% chance of surviving it at all.
Wow.
And it was bad. And, you know, what you don't hear a lot about was how painful it was. Okay, I'm the first to say I'm a total wimp when it comes to pain. I don't like it. Oh, it was painful. It hurt, you know. And I remember thinking, Lord, if it's the end of the road, thought, if it isn't the end of the road, can you go ahead and take me now? Because I'm finding this extremely painful. End is going to be that I'm going, it's time for me to go. Mm-hmm. Then can it be now instead of like 3 more weeks? Because this is awful. But if it's not the end of the road, I'm telling you again, I'm just cool to do whatever. You know, if this, because I had a sense then that this might have hurt my health, you know, and I have since had long haul syndrome, which you've heard, like I still don't have my sense of taste and smell. I still have, I'm going to a doctor tomorrow. I mean, I feel like my whole life has been doctors for like a year, but I still thought, you know, for whatever time I have left and whatever capacity I have, debilitated to the point where I'm just a writer nowadays and I'm stationary. That's cool. You know, I really am okay for whatever time I have left and whatever you want me to do. And I really, you know, I did some soul searching to make sure I'm truly mentally there, because I'm like, you know, what if I, you know, as a tour guide, I walk 8 miles a day and I was taking people on 5 to 10 mission trips per year. And that's a lot of energy. And I worried, you know, I was like, wow, what if this takes away my energy and I can't do some of the things I used to do? And then I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Because you know what? He still has a purpose for me. He can He's still going to accomplish his goals. And I'm just here. I'm just a vessel. Sometimes, you know, in the last year, I had to kind of step away and just think, all these activities, all this, you know, running around doing things have been great. I believe God brought them into my life, but he gives and takes away. And I can be rerouted to something else. And I'm cool with that. So, you know, I might be at the threshold of something else new. You know, it's all in God's hands. But that's how I do business with God. I'm just here. I'm just here. Just you.
Absolutely. That's great. So talk to me a little bit about your books. Let's start with the one you wrote during COVID.
Yeah. So, well, after the 9/11, we had a firsthand experience. We lived within 6 blocks of the World Trade Center complex. And my book is from a resident's perspective of what it was like to experience 9/11 during the attacks and then the aftermath, because, you know, it kind of went on and on, especially if you're a resident of the area, which basically a resident of the attack zone. Mm-hmm. So I talked about that. And I was really kind of interested in helping to educate people from personal story and my perspective. As a tour guide, you know, I just wanted people to know a little bit more about 9/11 than I felt like the media was getting out there. Mm-hmm. And so I came out, that came out in 2019 recently, right? And then the COVID one, I was...
Oh, so that book you didn't write during...
No. So the 9/11 book, it took me a while. For one thing, I'd never written a book before, and I really kind of didn't know much about it. And it took me about 6 years to write it because I was so new to the world of writing, so mm-hmm. to speak. So, and also to tell you the truth, we had some PTSD after that experience, and I feel like I hadn't gone through the whole process of getting everything set in my mind of that time period. I needed some more time away from it to kind of get more perspective on it. So it took me a while. The COVID though, I wrote while it was happening because, you know, in March last year, I felt there was a fair amount of, I know that the COVID really slipped up on us and just hit us like a, you know, like a pipe over the head. But the thing
I think it did. I'm going to tell you why I don't think that, because some friends of mine were sick in 2019.
I believe that. Definitely.
And doctors, my friend recently, like around October of last year, she was sick, but she didn't have COVID. And the doctor told her, you had COVID. And she was sick the year before, like July of 2019, long before the pandemic ever hit here. And I had several friends who were sick for months and months and months. And they could never.
Right. I definitely think it was around in 2019. We just didn't know. I think the realization that it was upon us took people by surprise. Yeah. But no, I totally agree with you. I think they're going to find out that it was around, just like they found out with AIDS, that, hey, AIDS was around in the 70s and stuff like that. It didn't just pop up in the 80s. You know, like there was definitely some buildup to it. But when it comes to COVID, it took like the country by some kind of a surprise. Right, especially at the New York. Yeah. And when I was writing it, there was still, I felt like a lot of people saying, oh, there's not a disease out there. It's not as bad. There's a hype and stuff like that. It was kind of like my bid to say, y'all, this is actually real. It's painful. It's killing me. It's trying very hard to kill me. Right. So it was kind of like just me trying to say, take all the precautions you need to take, because this is as bad as the hype you're hearing. Right. So, I mean, that hype, it didn't sustain necessarily, but it was, I was writing it when I felt like I wanted to put my voice out there that here's what's actually happening. And here's what it actually looks like play by play. If anybody's interested, you know, in that form, because we were hearing it here and there, but I felt like there was a section of the society that was still pretty blasé about it. And like, oh, that's not as bad, you know? So I was trying to combat that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that definitely the media did not, because like I never heard of these long haul COVID cases. I never heard that in the media. I only heard that when I start going on Clubhouse and went into a few rooms where people were talking about long haul COVID survivors. And I'm like, what? COVID for months and in comas and learning how to re-walk and talk and all this stuff. I'm like, wait, what? Never heard
a lot of that isn't getting out there. Exactly. One thing that I found very helpful is I became a member of a couple of Facebook support groups of people who had it. That was so helpful. So for instance, like in June of last year, my hair started falling out. I lost about half my hair, right? But that was, since I got it so early, meaning like when people were becoming aware of it, when my hair started falling out, I was like, what's happening? What's happening? Why is my hair falling out? And I didn't see anything on the news or anything. And I became a member of these support groups. And I started saying, you guys, my hair is falling. My hair is falling out. And people were like, oh, I didn't have that. But it turns out there was a lag time. So all of a sudden, you know, a couple of weeks later, people, my hair is falling out. My hair is falling out. Because again, if I got it in mid-March and I was kind of quarantined in recovery around the second week in April, and that lag time took me to about, again, like June, start coming out. But if I didn't have, the media wasn't reporting it. If I didn't have the support groups, it would have scared me a lot more than it did, you know, because people were like, yes, yes, my hair's coming out too, or I'm having that same issue. And so instead of getting our help from doctors or the media, we were helping each other.
Which that's good too. That's kind of like what we're here to do. We're supposed to be our brother's keeper. So
yes, yes.
So that's really great that you were able to find people to help you with that. So one of our core values is fun. What do you do for fun?
I love fun. You know, again, sorry to talk about Enneagram 7 again, but we're known to, we really prioritize fun. I like fun. So let's say pre-pandemic, some things that I enjoy doing is I like seeing documentaries. And in New York City, there's a couple of documentary only or independent movie only houses. I would go and I'd wrestle up a couple of friends and we would go and we would do that. And I just, for some, that's such a release. But my number one is probably seeing Broadway shows. I mean, that's just my DNA. I love Broadway. I love the music. I love everything about a live theater event. Mm-hmm. And I was a member of all these different clubs that gave discount tickets. Like there's one called TV, one called Play by Play. Because, you know, I mean, I would see about a show per week. Right. And I don't have enough money for that if it weren't for these clubs, but I would see a show per week. I just love live theater events. And I love Broadway music. And I have some favorite singers, Broadway singers that if you ever want to check out Lilias White or this one singer called LaShawn's. Those are some of my favorite Broadway performers. But yeah, so I like live shows, concerts, 80s music. You know, I have seen anybody who's still together from the 80s, I have seen multiple times. But yeah, I like to get out and about. I have a lot of energy and I like to do stuff. But yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you gotta have fun. You gotta have fun.
Right. Awesome. So what advice would you give someone that wants to start a business, a ministry, a nonprofit? What advice would you give them?
Join the movement and sign up for the 365 Days of Hearing God's Word Challenge. Check the show notes for all the details. Right now, it's time to get back to the episode. It's the Doing Business with God podcast with Michi Renee.
So I would say that, speaking of energy, what was the through line with all of my endeavors is the level of energy and passion and drive I put into everything, because you do actually have to have that. You have to have an amazing amount of energy and drive and passion, because you have to have that to keep going when things get hard or you face walls. If you don't have that in your belly, then it's probably not going to work out so well, because you're going to go up against a lot of no's and a lot of walls. So you just got to know that, you know, I feel convicted that this is what I need to be doing, that this is what God has me doing. I'm not going to hear a no. We're just going to go down another alley and try to achieve the same results in another way, right? But having a drive and a hustle to be able to do all you need to do to pour into something, to see it to fruition, that's just something you have to make sure you're dedicating yourself to. My husband and I didn't have children, honestly. Mm-hmm. So it might have been a little easier for us to take kind of our energies and our passions and our drives and pour it into these entrepreneurial things that we got ourselves involved in. But even if you do have children, just know that this will take a good portion of your mental space and your energy space. And just kind of, you know, I'm like, have a self chat of what kind of time do I have to put into this? If you have limits that are, you know, like part-time job-ish, I still think this probably isn't, you're probably better, you know, to work within an organization. You got to feel that this is the right product, the right move, where you're being led, where you're being, where God wants you, and you're going to see this through. You know, that's, you know, it's not a lot of hype at the beginning and this sounds good and then just kind of peters out. You have to have that, to have the inner drive, you have to have the inner conviction that you're supposed to be doing this.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
So in closing, what is your mantra? What do you stand for?
What I stand for? What I stand for is I want to go to heaven and God say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want.
Amen.
That's how I want this to end. That I'm not just taking a baseball bat and beating it against the wind because I want to do this and I want to achieve that. I want to do things that God wants me to do. So that's what I get to hear, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And I have to say there's a secondary drive of, I want to do things that are on the right side of history. And that gets very layered. And I won't go too much into that, just to say that I want to do something that outlasts me, that is for the kingdom, but it serves the purpose of moving Christ, you know, his message forward in this world in a positive way, instead of tearing anybody down to achieve it. I want to be part of God using me to further his kingdom, but I want to be out of love instead of out of any kind of condemnation or judgment to others. I want to just make sure that I'm doing things in great love. And to me, that's on the right side of history instead of great condemnation.
I love
that. That's it.
I love that. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been amazing speaking with you. Tribe, I pray you enjoyed this episode of the Doing Business with God podcast. Help us grow by subscribing on whatever platform you have listened to us on. Share this episode and pass this on to others. Give us a review and let us know what you think. And as always, do something for yourself. Do something for someone else. Let God do something for you and have the most amazing day ever. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Doing Business with God podcast. If you love this podcast, please share it with your family and friends. Leave us a review and help us grow. We also want to hear about your biggest takeaways. Take a picture of this episode and tag us on Instagram stories under Doing Business with God. And we'll see you next episode.
I am your host, Michi Renee. Get clear, got strategy, secure the bag. Have the most amazing day ever.
You've been listening to the Doing Business with God podcast.